This is Frankly MSP, where managed service providers get real.
Hey, and welcome to episode 24 of Frankly MSP, the podcast for managed service providers who want to boost their productivity, efficiency, and profitability. I'm your host, Jennifer Tribe. A quick shout out to Scott Petty of PC Wizard, who wins an Amazon gift card and an Ovik t-shirt for completing the Frankly MSP listener survey. Thanks for listening, Scott. And thanks to each of you as well for tuning in to another awesome episode of Frankly MSP. My guest on the podcast today is Barb Paluskiewicz, the CEO of a Canadian-based MSP called CDN Technologies. Barb has her own podcast called No Tech Talk, that's K-N-O-W Tech Talk, where she interviews MSP vendors about what their products can do for end clients. And she also makes frequent TV appearances on news and talk shows explaining in plain language the ins and outs of topics like ransomware. Barb has an interesting background for the CEO of an MSP. You know, we talk on this show a lot about how MSP owners and operators are typically technical folks who've gone out on their own and started a business. Barb did not take that path. Instead, she came up through technology sales. And as you can imagine, that puts a different spin on how she runs and manages her business. So we're going to talk about that and the culture of service that she's built at CDN. But first, you know what's coming. It's Richard Tubb and Carl Palachuk with a look at what's going on in the world through an MSP lens.
You're listening to Frankly MSP, brought to you by Ovik Networks.
Hey folks, Richard Tubb, and today I'm in my hometown of Birmingham in England out on assignment, and I'm joined today, as always, by my good friend and MSP expert, Carl Palachuk, who is also out on the road. How are you doing, Carl?
I'm very good. I'm all the way across the US in Washington, D.C.
And Washington, D.C. is the home of CompTIA's big conference, right?
Yes. ChannelCon has basically taken up the whole week here, but it's been a great conference.
Cool. And how many people are there? For people who are not familiar with CompTIA or ChannelCon, what does it look like?
First of all, great signage. You know, they must have some money laying around because signage is absolutely taking over this very, very large hotel. But I think there's between 800 and 1,000 people would be my guess.
So good-sized events. And CompTIA, for people who aren't familiar with CompTIA, although we have mentioned them on the podcast before, are almost like a trade association, aren't they, for the IT industry?
Yeah, nonprofit and heavily focused on not only the certifications, you know, CompTIA, Network Plus, and so forth, but also on research. A lot of information about, you know, what are the trends, what are the emerging technologies, what's going on, what do you need to do to be successful in this business?
Really worthwhile organization. If you're not a CompTIA member, I would encourage you as an MSP to check it out. Some great resources and also some brilliant events. So tell us what's happening for you in Washington.
One of the things that happened here that's very exciting for me is I got one of the little Ovik bears, and it's literally sitting on my laptop right now as I'm recording this. One of the things that they sort of kicked off the event with is some awards. And my favorite award is the new Cecilia Galvin Scholarship Award. Cecilia, as many of you know, was super powerful as an editor within the technology community, including 10 years at Channel Pro, and she passed away last year.
So tell us more about the Scholarship Award then. What does that look like?
So the Scholarship Award is a $2,500 scholarship that is offered to a female high school student who is a leader in her community and, you know, has demonstrated that she's going to be contributing to the technology community. And I gotta say, the winner that they have as their first inaugural winner is out of this world. Her name is Sarah Johnson, and she's from Philadelphia. High school student. I think she's 17. She's created three different apps compared to mine zero, right?
You and me both, yeah.
Yeah, she has more than both of us combined. One of the apps is for people to have this wearable technology for their kids so that they get alerted if their kid is off the school grounds. So you don't have to track their cell phone or anything like that. This is for kids who are too young to have cell phones. Another one is a GPS device for people who are in nursing homes where they specialize in dementia and things where if people just kind of wander off, they need to be able to find them. And so she wanted to create apps that people could afford instead of having these, you know, $250 tracking devices. So these are things that are in production and actually helping people in the real world today. So
yeah,
quite an achievement for a high school student.
Fantastic. And all credit to CompTIA here. I know here in the UK, every year, the UK Channel community gives away thousands of dollars to specific technology-based charities who do some fantastic work. But I love this idea of helping to build a legacy for somebody in that way. Really great work.
And they have many powerful programs for the thing called AWIT, Advancing Women in IT. And they sponsor these like tech girl clubs in high schools, which is awesome to help people get involved in the STEM technology, not just women, but everybody. We're literally going to have a shortage of technical people very soon because all technology is advancing so fast and we don't have enough people actually getting in and saying, I can make a living doing that.
And actually, if we can jump to something that caught my eye this week, when we talk about everybody and people within tech, an interesting story, I think very relevant for MSPs, popped up on the Computer Dealer news site. And it's about a new guide on cybersecurity from the National Institute of Standards and Technology, better known as NIST. So they've released this guidebook, Carl, and it's for companies big and small on how to secure their businesses from cyber attacks. The really interesting thing is that the NIST guidebook, although it's incredibly valuable in its own right, is actually released under Creative Commons license. So what this means for MSPs is I see no reason why this can't be a document that is not used as the basis of creating a document for your own clients wherever you are in the world, but also you could just give it away directly to your client as an advisory guide for cybersecurity in its own right.
Right, and use it for a template for educating clients as well.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting because obviously security is one of the hottest topics at this conference and at most conferences today. It'd be great to have that distributed. And of course, we're going to post a link to that.
Indeed, we are. The link will be in the show notes. But the key takeaways, I downloaded a PDF report. It's totally free to download. We'll include the link in the show notes. The key takeaways from the report were that members of staff, employees should always exercise caution and fully understand their role. Easy to say, but the guide goes on to say if your job title includes certain words, you know, if you're the CEO, these are the things that you need to be aware of for leadership. If you work within sales and marketing, here's how you should be handling data. If you work within the HR departments and so on and so forth. So it really is a great guide. Some of the other key takeaways were how to handle, control, store, transfer, and dispose of important information, how to limit access to documents and programs, use encrypted complex passwords and multi-factor authentication, and quite interestingly, how to follow your own organization's security procedures. So some of it does seem common sense, but as you and I and every MSP listening, human beings are the weakest link in any organization's cybersecurity. So this report really just spells it out for people. Here's what to do, here's what not to do. So what might be common sense to us within the IT industry, many of our clients won't appreciate the value in things like encryption, limited access to documents and programs. So I really do think this is a very powerful document.
You know, it's one more brick in trying to build a wall where, as somebody mentioned at the event the other day, that people are getting fatigued with being told about security. So if we can take a slightly different approach and get them actually to be interested in very common sense stuff, because you've heard people say, well, I didn't think that email was for me, but I clicked on it anyway.
Yes, indeed.
So if we can just do just one more level of awareness, it would be good.
We can't go through a podcast without mentioning the G word, GDPR, the General Data Protection Regulation. This report is fully up to date with everything that's required of the European GDPR rules as well. So again, a great way for any MSP, if you're not educating your clients about this very important topic, then this guide could be an off-the-shelf way for you to just add some value to that relationship and make your life easier as an MSP, because if we can educate the customers, then we're going to get less support tickets, we're going to get less work that's created for us.
Well, it's interesting. So I was talking with Mike Semmel here, who does a lot of compliance work, And he said, you know, a lot of people focus on the security side and they want to scare people with, if your data is stolen, you know, bad things can happen. But he said, the other piece of it is, forget the regulations, forget what happens with the government. Think about what happens when you get sued and somebody says, oh, you're supposed to be in charge of HR. You're a certified HR professional. And here's the guidelines for that. And you violated them, right? You violated GDPR. So I'm going to sue you, the professional who is not doing your job according to the certification that you have. And so liability just goes through the roof. And that's got nothing to do with the government fining you for a violation.
Absolutely. Very interesting report. We'll include the link to that in the show notes. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. Thanks, Carl, for joining us whilst you're out on the road. That's what's been going on, and we'll look forward to seeing you next time.
You're listening to Frankly MSP.
As always, I'll put links to the resources Carl and Richard discuss in today's show notes at avic.com/franklymsp/024. Quick aside, we'll be trying some new and different things with the What's Going On segment over the next few months, so keep an ear out for those. More details to come in later episodes. Now we come to my interview with Barb Paluskiewicz, talking about building a culture of sales and service in your MSP. Hi, Barb. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Jennifer. How are you today?
I am great, and I'm excited to have you here. So you're CEO of an MSP in Mississauga, Ontario, Canada. Woo-hoo. We've been chatting before, and I know your journey to becoming CEO of an MSP is probably not the typical one. So tell us how you arrived here.
It's a great story. CDN Technologies' roots goes back to 1989. My business partner is a tech. He's really smart. He loves computers. In the beginning, he had a few clients and things were going really well for him. And he was getting great feedback from his customers. He started getting referrals and his business started to grow and he started looking for more techs to hire. How Jason's path and my path crossed was because as he was networking, trying to hire techs, someone suggested that he go talk to me, Barb P. something. So for all of you listeners that are taking notes, my last name is Paluskiewicz and it is spelled the exact same way it sounds. At the time, I was working as an IT sales rep for an IT training company. It was in the 90s before the dot-com bust, and it was all about Novell Networks, A-plus certification, getting your MCP and earning all of your credentials towards your MCSC designation. That was really hot at the time. And I was invited to join the team at CDN Technologies. I said that I would think about it when I was asked. Here I am. I'm educated. I'm a trained sales professional. I'm making bank, working in a corporate environment. I work with companies. I work with governments. Y2K's coming. You know what? I'm looking at all these dot-coms popping up everywhere. Like, I got a path to fortune happening for me. There is no way I'm going to go work for a guy who's working from his basement fixing computers for people. But if you've been in business for a while and the story resonates, you're going to remember that the dot-com bubble burst happened and that it impacted the economy. And even though I wasn't a techie, I was still in IT. And the company that I was working for got bought out by an American company. And there were changes being made. I remember reading my new compensation plan and thinking, this sucks. So like any salesperson, I tried to negotiate, but it was a new company, new rules. And essentially, I knew my time was coming up and I just kept on thinking, shoot, what am I going to do? What's next out there? There must be something with this IT outsource thing that Jason keeps talking about, because there's lots of businesses out there that have computers and he's keeping asking me to join him. And I don't know. I remember it was like yesterday. It was April 2nd because it was the day after April Fool's Day. And as I was leaving to go to work, I was just like, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to quit today. I got a banker's box and I got to my desk at work and I sat there and I was like, oh my God, like, you know, am I really going to do this? My boss rings me up and he calls me into his office. He says he needs to speak with me right away. So I sit down in the chair. He closes the door. We exchange pleasantries and I just say, what's up? And for all the salespeople out there, you know, that's rule number one, find out why you're there. And at that point, he let me know that there were some changes being made within the organization and would like to present me with an offer. I just sat there. I remember my jaw dropping. I remember getting goosebumps and just thinking, oh my God, I felt like I just won this lottery. Like I was so happy. It was euphoric. I was just like, for once, I didn't talk first. This was phenomenal. I was so relieved that destiny presented itself. I knew I was going to be okay. So I called my current business partner and I said, hey, I just got a package. And his reply was good. I started selling IT services to businesses. I started making progress. It took a little bit. The business started to grow and we started hiring people and we started building. And once that solid foundation was in place, we started acquiring other IT companies and helping out. It was nice because my foundation was strong. I started working on my growth through acquisition strategy. And that's how I became a CEO of an MSP. I just kind of grew into the role of CEO from being an IT sales rep. The short story is I got a package, hooked up with a super smart IT guy and started selling IT services, and becoming the CEO was just the natural progression of sales.
So what's unique about that, I think, is that you come from a sales background rather than, I mean, it was IT sales, but you're not from that technical, you know, network administrator or whatever it is background. And I imagine that gives you a unique perspective on the management of your MSP. So how has your sales background influenced the way you run the business today?
Sales is tough. You live by the sword and you die by the sword. Like, you know, when it's great. And when it's shit, it's pretty shitty. It's frustrating growing a business. And if you're not growing, you're shrinking. So the focus has always been on sales and, more importantly, a managed and focused growth, because more sales means more tax. More tax means more admins, and just the people and the volume of the paperwork. You really have to stay on top of all of that. So the approach has always been very focused as we grow the business in a very systematic manner. Because I've seen companies that have had great salespeople and they just went out and made so many sales, they couldn't manage it all and they just collapsed. Or heaven forbid, all the company's profit is tied up in their receivables and you have a hard time collecting. So I've seen different aspects of building a business and I've just learned that it's my responsibility.
And you say that every person in your company is in sales, and a lot of companies say this, but for you, it's more than just a platitude. Tell us more about how you structured your team's responsibilities and the expectations that you've set.
So at CDN Technologies, sales is really important. More important for us to deliver customer service. It's all about customer service and establishing that positive connection with all the people that we interact with. So when a call comes in, the person has a concern. The person who deals with that call, they have to establish a positive connection between themselves and the person that they're helping, because it's our job. It's our responsibility to help people, to help businesses stay up and running, to keep them moving forward. So when we're doing that, it's much like dealing with a family member that's always around. You always have to make sure that the concerns are dealt with, that you're ahead of things. So to a certain extent, it's sales, but over and above, it's customer service. So I would say our focus at CDN Technologies is not only sales, but providing true, strong, and free customer service so that every client and every potential client is treated the same way, in the same way that we would treat a family member, but only a family member that we like. No.
Do your techs have sales quotas or metrics that they need to hit?
Yes. They need to understand the value of the service that we are providing our customers. They need to understand that, hey, you know what? A new computer, it costs, I'm just going to say $500. If you're going to spend 3 hours being billed out at $150, like fixing that piece of crap for someone because they can't part it, it's going to be more expensive for them. Be smart. Make the job easy for yourself. Make the job easy for your customer. And if you know that this is the right direction to go into it, and if you believe it, then if you've established that positive connection, it's not like a It's a supporting role. We know you're helping the customer out. And we have our huddles. The team works together so we all know what's going on. We all provide each other feedback on how to keep things moving in a positive direction, because computers are just tools and everybody likes working with great tools.
So stereotypically, techs, I think, are often afraid of sales, or they feel that it's not their area of expertise. Do you hire for that sort of sales and relationship building ability, or do you train for it?
I think that you hit a good nail. Remember when we were in elementary school and someone would run their fingernails down a chalkboard? Remember that sound, how it felt? I think that when techs have to make calls like sales calls or collecting receivable calls, I think that it generates that same type of feeling as nails on the chalkboard. And it's these feelings that are red flags to let you know that you're not comfortable. And if you're not comfortable in doing that job, then at least be smart enough to politely direct the person into a positive direction to someone who can. So as for meeting sales quotas and like, you have to sell X amount of this, you have to sell X amount of this, not necessarily, but the sales that are made because of a tech's influence, they definitely happen because the trust is established between the tech and the end user. So that bond is there and they're confident in moving forward.
You also have a very interesting training requirement for everyone on your team. What is it?
Oh, yes. I love this one. When we hire people, everybody does Disney training, and we do Disney training as a group, as a whole, because Disney is awesome. They are top of mind when it comes to customer service, and this aligns with our focus of being customer service focused. When you go to a Disney theme park, or if you've done a Disney cruise, you feel really special. You know, there is an entire company there working together to make a fantasy world come real for you. And they do everything that they can to make it a positive experience for you. And that's really what I want to do for CDN's customers. I want my customers to be happy. I want them to feel comfortable. I want them to feel welcome. I want them to feel appreciated because I'm thankful for them. I want them to know that their data and business systems are being monitored and cared for in a safe environment. And I want my employees to have a positive working environment. I want my people to be happy. I want them to feel comfortable. I want them to know how to establish boundaries in a polite and professional manner to keep them safe and in control while they are managing other people's expectations. And in my humble opinion, Disney does it good.
So they have corporate training in customer service. They teach people how to develop the kind of customer service that they have.
Yes, Disney has a bunch of programs. They have their business excellence program. They have their customer service program and how to train and deliver. What exactly does Disney do different? And they share all of their secrets. No one can does it like Disney. So they just show you how they do it. They provide the structure, they provide the framework, and you go to these workshops and you fill in the blank.
And you have said to me as well that you send your team members one at a time rather than sending them, you know, two or three people at a time. Explain about that.
I send them one at a time because everybody learns differently. So when I send someone for the first time one-on-one, it's so powerful and so emotional. Sometimes it transforms you. So sometimes it's best to just be in yourself so that you can experience that on your own. And then when you come back, you have the support of all of the others who have been through it. So it's very welcoming and very team oriented. And then you have something to talk about because everybody learns and interprets things different. So now when we're all together, we've all had the same experience, and now we begin to talk about it. When that new person comes in back after they've done the training, it's a kind of refresher course for everyone that did it before. So that's why I like sending them out individually. And when we do it a group, there are executive level courses for people like myself on how to manage your team and how to build excellence. and how to deal with processes. When we do that, then I go with my business partner, or I'll take one of my senior techs, someone who's in a more authoritative role, and we'll do it together, because it's easier when there's two brains instead of one.
And so is this something that, you know, it's one of the first things that you ask them to do after they join, or is it something that happens sometime in the first 6 months or sometimes in the first year? What's the requirement there?
The Disney training, if they make it through the probationary period, it's kind of like the light at the end of the tunnel. After their 3 months, I set them up. Because it's not cheap from a business perspective. And I think that me being in sales and my job is communication. If I know that I'm going to be able to communicate well with this person, I can see that they're fitting in with the culture here, that they're making an attempt. And then afterwards, they're done their probation. Then I send them out. And that's kind of the whole like welcome to CDM Technologies, the handshake. We're going to send you on this course. This is how we do it. This is how we do it.
And what difference do you feel that training has made to your team and your company as a whole?
Oh, understanding the difference between overmanagement and micromanagement. So understanding that overmanagement, what exactly it is, and not confusing it with micromanagement. I would have to say that we've been, CDN Technologies is very blessed. I've been very blessed. CDN's consistent business results are driven by overmanaging certain things that most companies undermanage or ignore. And that is the key source to what differentiates us. We have learned to be intentional where others are unintentional. So not saying that we micromanage our operations. Overmanaging is completely different, and its intent is much more positive. I tend to think about things in IT differently than others, and to a greater degree. And Disney, the training that I've received from them and the training that our people has received, it's trained us to pay extraordinary attention to the details surrounding general business processes, because at the end of the day, it's all about customer service and making people feel special, making them feel important, learning how to do that, learning how to do it in a professional way, and being sincere when you're doing it, understanding the emotion and the psychology behind it. So it's not like when you go to some places and it's like a phony facade. The people who work at CDN Technologies, we truly understand the importance of providing high quality customer service. Employee service actions, they need to be genuine. And delivering service is not just about the way people do it, but it's about how they do it. And I think that the Disney training provides me a very clear route to get these technical, right-minded people understanding that. Our common purpose at CDN Technologies is to provide exceptional customer service with our customers and make sure our interactions with our customers are always interpreted to be positive. I don't mind when a tech or someone is off task, as long as they're on purpose. And that's always ensuring that the customer is receiving a positive experience when interacting with us. And Disney's training has helped us.
Do you track Net Promoter Score, or how are you measuring whether you're meeting those goals you have around customer service?
That's a good question. I don't have like that, you know, are you happy, are you unhappy, or things like that. We have a testimonial book that I go out on sales calls with. I can honestly say I've never requested for a testimony. Usually during the onboarding process, there's a check mark in there. Hey, did Barb get kudos? If I get kudos, my job is done. Just little things like that. And then after the onboarding process is done, the whole, did we get a compliment? And that's in the form of an email. And or something, or we receive, I know this sounds like silly, but we'll receive lots of gifts, lots of thank you notes. I got one yesterday and it says, anyone can be cool, but awesome takes practice. Barb, we appreciate all you do for us with gratitude. It just came out of the blue. And then it's nice when I go out and I do my little quarterly business reviews. And you know what they say? You know what, that Jacob guy, he's awesome. You know, that Christopher guy, he's really good. You know what? And Sarah, she's funny. Like just little things like that. I'm doing a cybersecurity lunch and learn. And I sent out 115 invitations. And within 24 hours, I got 42 people registered.
That is a great response.
I know, but half of the people that are coming are my customers because they're just like, we love hearing you talk. It's great. But at the end of the day, we measure our successes by all of the happy emails and little cards and little gifts that we get.
Yeah, like random acts of appreciation. I don't know how many MSPs get spontaneously sent notes of gratitude. I think that's really awesome.
Yeah, I do too. And I never re-gift.
Oh, very good. Thanks for joining us today, Barb. It has been so interesting to hear some of your thoughts on sales and customer service.
Oh, you know, thank you very much for having me, Jennifer. It is great interacting with another fellow Canadian in this MSP marketplace, especially one as good as you. Avik does it good and has a great reputation and it is an outstanding leader. So I feel very honored being on your podcast.
Thanks so much. That was Barb Paluskowicz of CDN Technologies. As Barb likes to say, her last name is spelled exactly how it sounds. But for those of you like me who might need a hint, I'll put Barb's name and contact info in the show notes for today, along with links to Barb's podcast and the Disney training programs that she mentioned. That's at avik.com/franklymsp/024. And that's a wrap. If you enjoyed the show, remember to subscribe to Frankly MSP in iTunes or any of your favorite podcast apps to get each episode as it drops. Till next time, this is Jennifer Tribe. Thanks for listening.
Frankly MSP, brought to you by Avik Networks, the most efficient and profitable way to manage your clients' networks.